38. The wind from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 24. The wind will be light and from the west. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 40. The wind out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly clear. The low Saturday night in the upper 20s. The high Sunday in the low 40s. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 30s. Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. The high will be in the low 40s. And the outlook for Monday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain or snow. We'll see a low in the low 30s. At noon Central Time across Illinois and Indiana, most locations reported a cloudy sky. Temperatures ranged from the mid-30s to the mid-50s. At Rockford, it was 36 degrees. Chicago reported 42 degrees, 38 at Bloomington, 41 at Mattoon. Alton reported a temperature of 45 degrees. In the Hoosier State, at South Bend, 45, Lafayette, 44, Indianapolis, 53, Terre Haute, 47. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, the temperature 42, the dew point 35, the relative humidity 76%, the wind out of the west at 26 miles per hour with gusts to 32 miles per hour, and the barometric pressure 29.97 and steady. And at 12:38, 39 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, the sky is cloudy. Death sentences dropped dramatically this year, marking the first time in more than three decades that judges and juries sent fewer than 100 people to death row. That's according to a new report out today from the Death Penalty Information Center. As NPR's Laura Sullivan reports, the report suggests how America thinks about the death penalty is changing.
Remember the Republican debate in September when moderator Brian Williams turned to Texas Governor Rick Perry?
So Governor Perry, a question about Texas. Your state has executed 234 death row inmates, more than any other governor in modern times. Have you...
Just the question got the loudest applause of the night.
What do you make of...
Brian Williams asked him why that was.
I think Americans understand justice. I think Americans are... clearly, in the vast majority of cases, supportive of capital punishment.
That may be the perception, but it may not be the reality.
When I saw the reaction, the debate, I said, this is not what I'm seeing about the death penalty around the country. Everything I've been following for 20 years has been that we are in a deep decline.
Richard Dieter directs the Death Penalty Information Center. Its new report shows only 78 offenders were sent to death row this year, and only 43 people were executed, compared to almost twice as many 10 years ago.
The death penalty in 2011 is starting to reflect the unease that many people feel, at least the ambivalence. Sure, a lot of people still support the death penalty. But the practice has been flawed, and it's getting very expensive.
Dieter points to the millions spent on capital cases, the frequent exonerations of people on death row, concerns about fairness. Many people protested this year when inmate Troy Davis was executed in Georgia, despite appeals that raised questions about his guilt. Meanwhile, Illinois abolished the death penalty entirely, and just a few weeks ago, there was this from Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber.
It's time for this state to consider a different approach. I refuse to be part of a compromised and inequitable system any longer.
Kitzhaber says he won't execute another inmate while he's in office. But Scott Burns, executive director of the National District Attorneys Association, says people aren't turning against the death penalty. They're turning toward another, perhaps less complicated option, life without parole.
Victims and prosecutors and others, unfortunately, have come to learn that the death sentence really means 25 years of appeals and habeas and more appeals, and the penalty is seldom imposed.
20 years ago, life in prison actually meant 15 to 30 years in prison. All 50 states and the federal government now have the option of imposing a sentence of life in prison until you're dead, without any chance of parole.
When you can tell them this person will never get out of prison again, that's a more appealing alternative.
Burns says there's one other factor to consider, crime rates. This year, the murder rate fell to where it was in the 1960s. There are simply fewer people to charge with capital murder. It's an enormous drop from the 1990s. In those years, the U.S. executed more inmates than it had in at least half a century. Laura Sullivan, NPR News, Washington.
It's 12:43. This is the Afternoon Magazine from Illinois Public Media. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Kyle Mabry. 'Tis the season when shoppers search high and low for that perfect, shiny new gift for loved ones. But the owner of a store in Macomb is whistling a different tune. He's hoping shoppers will take a spin with an old favorite. Public Radio's Rich Egger reports.
John Gorluski is a busy man. He's a husband and father. He works in the admissions office at Western Illinois University, and he's lead guitarist for the Macomb-based band Iron Orchard. But apparently Gorluski is not busy enough because he's undertaking a new venture with an old music format. He's opening a used record store.
My father was a disc jockey up in Northern Illinois for about 30 years, and after many years of suggestions from my mother, he gave me his record collection.
The problem is, Gorluski and his wife were living in an 800-square-foot condo in Chicago.
The idea of perhaps selling them came up, so I looked into it and decided that there was money to be made there, and been at it ever since.
Gorluski has been dealing records online for about 10 years. Then after moving to Western Illinois, he opened a booth at an antique store in the town of Good Hope.
Just as an experiment to see if there was enough foot traffic to support a used vinyl store. And it's been mildly successful, so that's why I decided to open this place up.
Lou Prince knows what it's like to sell records at a temporary location. Prince and a buddy started hawking records at the farmer's market in St. Louis in 1979. When winter's chill blew in, they moved into a building and named their store Vintage Vinyl. It's still going strong today. Prince has seen a lot of changes over the years, and one of those is the rebirth of vinyl. It nearly disappeared for a while, but today it takes up 35% to 40% of the store's floor space.
What I'm finding is people who grew up with digital portable music are beginning to enjoy the sound of vinyl, the beauty of the cover art. And I think the latest thing that I've discovered just by listening to customers is the 40-minute format works a whole lot better for music than the 85-minute format.
Prince is Vintage Vinyl's CEO. He's a firm believer in operating a brick-and-mortar store and not just a website. Vintage Vinyl holds 150 free in-store concerts every year. Its staff is well-trained and knowledgeable. Prince says a trip to the store provides an experience you simply cannot find online.
The store is an environment. It is a stimulating environment that is stimulating in ways that a screen cannot be. I think the culture business in particular is brick and mortar because it's about people-to-people communication, and the screen can't give you the full nuanced communication, and that's what we hope to do.
I wouldn't swap it for the world. It's my turntable.
It's not just old vinyl that's selling. The Recording Industry Association of America reports the number of vinyl records shipped last year increased nearly 26%. Courtney Blankenship says vinyl is still a small piece of the pie when it comes to recorded music sales.
But the percentage share that they have, they've reached, a dollar amount that they have not reached since 1990.
Blankenship is director of the Music Business Program at WIU's School of Music. She says artists trying to stand out from the pack today can do so by making their music available on vinyl. Restaurants also search for ways to stand out, and one in Macomb will try to do it with a promotion involving vinyl. Shiloh's Bar and Bistro plans to organize a Vino and Vinyl Night. Co-owner Kimberly Miller says customers will be asked to bring in a favorite record. A DJ will spin a few selections from it.
People who are actually sharing their experience with music and bringing their music up here can feel like part of, like, kind of a small vinyl club.
Miller likes album artwork and the way music comes across on vinyl. She says digital recordings sound shiny, whereas vinyl sounds real.
I can't just see me standing here. Got my back against the record machine.
Gerlewski Store will sell some record machines, in this case turntables, in addition to the LPs. Shoppers can also check out the records at a listening station. By the way, the store is called Bad Kitty.
My wife likes cats, and I love my wife, but I don't like cats, so all cats are bad kitties to me.
His wife designed the logo for Bad Kitty, which is next door to Macomb City Hall. The LP was the dominant format for decades. Today, digital rules, but vinyl is enjoying a resurgence. Aficionados will tell you that sweet sound always had a sanctuary in their hearts and homes. Rich Egger reporting.
Support comes from Wesley United Methodist Church, Green and Goodwin in Urbana, serving the campus and community this season. Saturday the 17th, the Blue Christmas service is at 4:30 p.m. On Christmas Eve, the family service is at 4 p.m. and communion service at 7. And the Christmas Day service is at 10:30 a.m. Details at wesleyui.org.
And here is the writer's almanac for Thursday. It's the 15th of December, 2011. The Bill of Rights was adopted 220 years ago on this date, 1791. 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, following the precedent set by the Magna Carta back in 1215 and the English Bill of Rights of 1689, which ensured the rights of citizens against the power of the crown. A prime mover of the Bill of Rights was George Mason, who was a follower of the philosopher John Locke, who argued that government should exist for the protection of individual property and that all people were equal in the state of nature. Mason did not approve of the Constitution as it